A world of great beings. Most of the dictators have fallen because people, in their wisdom, have learned to fight them across generations. Evil and other stupid ideas are temporary. This is why we are all familiar with the image of the laughing philosopher. We pick up on it from myths, stories, books, or movies. Not only is it an image describing the most powerful being, but an image of a being who has understood that the world is okay. It is just moving at its own pace. The people have simply learned that the single most powerful weapon against evil is the brilliant minds of younger generations. Rather than standing up to evil in war, where evil can only spread, they stand up to evil in time, where it has no power, and it is perpetually weakening. Look back at history. How feeble the burning of books, the attempts of keeping the slaves uneducated, or even censoring parts of the internet. The one amazing thing about human beings is that we are outthinkers. The way we think is thought by thought, building up layers of knowledge. And if someone tries to create a wall, people will immediately comprehend it and start outthinking it. Why a wall? What is this wall trying to control? Who benefits from the wall? The battle against evil is invisible to us, the same way it is invisible to the dictators. It is flying over our heads so that the smallest number of people suffer as we improve the world with wisdom across centuries. What can you do to help? Oh my goodness, this is my favorite question. Everything important that I ever write about is all about this question. It is the trinity of knowledge, wisdom, and greatness. The way you help the world fight its way out of the dark ages is by constantly inheriting knowledge from the wise and the great. You just keep reading those books. Just keep listening to those narrated books. Keep watching all the well-grounded documentaries and keep building that brilliant, self-balancing, self-reinforcing lattice of knowledge in your mind. One example of that is all the people who were once hesitant about vaccines, but became more educated during the pandemic of 2020. This interactive, self-balancing, self-reinforcing, self-healing lattice of knowledge also represents a factory of new thoughts. They just bubble up out of there. Oh, you can say, new thoughts come by subtle analogy to what we already know. Or you can call it idea synthesis to impress your medicine-minded friends. But really, new ideas come because we are humans. And all humans are indescribably beautiful and special and out of control outthinkers. New ideas is what we are good at. For example, someone who invents a new form of art is not a good artist. They are just a person who had an art idea so excellent that they immediately became a new kind of artist. These fancy new ideas, when combined and refined with knowledge that you inherited from other great minds, create wisdom. Oh, you can be your own source of wisdom, but by inheriting wisdom from others, you become even wiser. Wisdom is not just ideas, though. Wisdom is about ideas that approach a certain kind of royalty. Here, the non-academic philosophers really help us. They speak of ideas that you cannot help but to love. Ideas so powerful that you just love them. Ideas so beautiful that the only way we can connect with them or hold them or grasp them is with the superpower of love. There exists a class of ideas that you must grow up to, that you must better yourself towards, that you must challenge yourself to rise to. And that is what real philosophy is about. The words philosophia come from Greek, and they mean love of wisdom. Amor fati, for example, is something that we must grow up to understand. Our lattice of knowledge must be sufficiently evolved and refined to grasp the idea openly and freely. For one, the love of fate is a thing you see from your golden age when looking back at your life. And the love in love of fate is rooted not in what happened to you, but what you did with it. To give an example from my own life, by the time 8 or maybe 12 bullies came after me and spat and kicked, I have already refined the winning of the battle by placing the palms of my hands on the concrete and pushing up to rise, even if it meant I would fall again. The fights were not won by becoming one of the snarling beasts. They were all won after they all left, by not becoming like they were. The battle was won in not behaving like the monsters. I was not smart enough to comprehend my bullies. I still don't understand, and simply don't think about it. But what I do think about is my rising. How I invented a way to win every battle by not fighting them at all. By not becoming stained with violence or anger. By not becoming the snarling beast that they were. To this day, I have never been angry. I swear. But I know anger. I saw it in the angry red faces of my bullies. The older I get, the more I worry that their families hurt them just out of laziness, out of wanting to do nothing, or wanting to have nothing to do with them. This is why it is important for us to hold some ideas in the greatest esteem, to remind the worst of us that there are far greater things out there than what we find at home, or in our neighborhood, or even culture. And this is how love of fate can become an idea that is held with love in our minds. Because it is an idea that singles out how we rose. Hardships happen to us all, but we cannot stay down. More than rising over hardships, we should just remind each other to rise in all things. Rise and transcend as a fact of life, as a rule. Amor fati is one small philosophical idea out of millions, but it is one that we can easily hold in our minds with love. It is first to be understood from our golden age, but not just once we have lived our lives already, but also by connecting with our elder selves when we are still young, by venturing into the future in our daydreams, by using our elder selves to become stronger in our youth, and thus reinforcing our elder selves with greater powers. And so on, until we actually arrive into our golden age and have greater appreciation for it all. Come our final days, proclaiming, hopefully in real anger, "For all the horrible things I have been through, I gave it all a reason by learning and rising from it all." The most beloved of ideas, by the way, are spoken from within our bellies. Amor fati is about rising and the inspiration of a life actually lived. But again, your lattice has to be great enough not to need an explanation for what it is like to rise, for the feeling of triumph over misery, and the triumph over what things may come in life, by giving everything a greater meaning. And here we arrive at the third component, the wisdom and deeds that outlive a person. Greatness is found in their legacy and the persistence of their hard-won wisdom. This is that rebirth and that heaven that the fairy tales describe. It is not us that live forever. It is the wisdom that we share. And the heaven that these thoughts take to is found in the minds of the future generations that become better for it. The wielders of that brilliant lattice are the real creators, fueled by past generations, contributing new ideas, and refining and re-emerging the old ones. It is all for the betterment of us, and every wisdom counts. Greatness is not for the few. It is meant for all, including you. Thus, the short answer to how you can help the world is by becoming a great being. And you become a great being by relentlessly giving everything in your path, no matter what things come, a greater meaning. You and all the other beings aiming for greatness is a path to justice, world peace, and freedom. A world of great beings.